Welcome to the Radiant Springs Church Podcast. Check out our website at radiantsprings.com for more information about us. If you are challenged with what you hear on this podcast, come join us on Sunday mornings at 10 o'clock for our contemporary worship, message, fellowship, and coffee. Radiant Springs, refreshing, relevant, real.
Today we're going to be in John chapter 13. Love can mean a lot of things, can it? Especially in our culture, love can mean a lot of things. And it can, not like the Greek language. The Greek language, it can mean a lot. They use different words for it, three of them are mentioned in Scripture. So the three that are found in the Bible, found in Scripture, are the first one's phileo. Okay, and what kind of love is that? Friend, brotherly love. So Philadelphia is named after phileo, city of brotherly love. Okay, so that's the friendship, the type of love that is shared between friends. Eros love, okay? That is usually known as romantic, intimate love, intimacy there, okay? Sometimes that can take on a bad side, but it's very much part of a marriage relationship, and so it's talked about in Scripture. And then you have agape love. Agape love is what do we sometimes call God love, but it's very sacrificial, it's very unconditional. In other words, you don't have to do anything to deserve it. God loves us, and He loves us for who we are, just as we are. And so that is the type of love that He also wants us to resemble in our own human relationships. So you have the three types of love. In marriage, I always encourage married couples that, especially those that are looking at marriage, you need to have all three of those in your relationship. You need to be friends. You need to have some sparks in there, so some arrows. And then you need to have just that unconditional love. So all those three types of love are important in the marriage relationship. But we can use love in all those terms. And usually when we think of God, I've entitled the message this morning, Extreme Love. It comes from our passage. And usually when we think of extreme love or God's biggest demonstration of love, we usually think of what? His death, the cross, right? Yeah. Okay, I want you to hold that thought as we read our passage today in John chapter 13. We've been hitting our mission statement to love, lead, and connect. So in the areas that we want to love as a congregation, it is in being missional. So Jay touched upon that. Be intentional about reaching the people that are in our communities, regardless of race, of social level, all those different things. We want to be intentional about reaching our communities. But also the passionate involvement, discovering our gifts, our talents, so that we can serve and minister God's love to our world. And then the idea of fellowship, developing the authentic relationships that phileo love within the body of Christ, but also the agape love, that we are committed to one another, praying for one another, helping each other grow in Christ. All those are important. So let's look at John chapter 13 before we do. We're going to just kind of discover some keys of extreme love. So let's look to the Lord in prayer this morning. Father, we give you the thanks, we give you the praise, and we ask this in your precious holy name. We just pray that you would take your word, apply it to our hearts and our lives this morning. Make it come alive to us. We give you the thanks, and we ask it in the precious and the wonderful name of Jesus. Amen. Praise God. Let's look at this together. You can hear him worshiping back there. Andy, I think, is a good, probably a good worship leader for kids, but we also found out he's a good cheerleader at the basketball game on Thursday. So he had the whole Crete section there leading defense. Yeah, he had them going. All right, verse 1, chapter 13. It was just before the Passover feast. So we know that the events of Easter happen around the Passover. In fact, that's Jesus comes to Jerusalem for Passover. It is around those events that he is betrayed and that he is then crucified. So it is around that time. Jesus knew that his time had come for him to leave this world and go to the Father. Having loved his own who were with him in the world, who do you think he's talking of? The disciples, yes. He now showed them the full extent of his love. Extreme love. What is he talking about? The evening meal was being served, and the devil had already prompted Judas Iscariot, the son of Simon, to betray Jesus. Jesus knew that the Father had put all things under his power and that he had not come from God and was returning to God. So he got up from the meal, took off his outer clothing, wrapped a towel around his waist, and after that he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet. And drying them with the towel that was wrapped around him. So, let's illustrate this a little bit, okay? So Jesus says, I'm going to demonstrate the full extent of my love to my disciples, the ones that I'm leading. So what did he do? First of all, it says that he took off his outer garments, didn't he? Why do you think he did that? Why do you think he did that? Wet? What were the conditions like in Jesus' time? Hot? Huh? Don't worry. What were conditions like back then? Did they have shoes? Sandals. Okay, what were the roads like that they walked on? Dusty. Oh, okay. They were, huh? All right. They were. All right. So that's what Jesus did. Everybody's watching him just like you're watching me. I thought about putting some shorts on, but. So then it says that he took a towel, right? And he wrapped it around him, right? And so they're watching, right? Because somebody did not do their job that day, did they? What was somebody's job to be? Wash everybody's feet that came in that day, right? And it was a custom, but it was an important thing because they had walked. Should have got a bigger towel. Because huh? They had walked dusty, dirty roads, right? And they probably didn't take, I don't know who I was talking about, you know, just in our culture today, we take one or two showers maybe a day. Maybe we go a day or two without one. We won't take a survey, but it's just common nature. I was just talking to somebody in a rural community. How often did they take them back, going back before they had running water? Saturday night, right? Why did they do it Saturday night? Sunday morning church. All right? They would wash, take baths, and the baby was the last one. I was telling the illustration. The baby was the last one to get the bath, and so that's where the expression comes, don't throw the baby out with the bath water, because it was pretty dirty by that point. I did. I think that's what I was telling, yes. All right. And so Jesus, he began to wash his disciples' feet, right? And so I need to wash somebody's feet this morning. Any takers? No? All right. All right. Come on, Jay. Come on, Jay. How many want Jay? Come on, Jay. You're illustrating my message perfectly.
Do you have car buckles? Yes.
Because somebody else said no, 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 too. No. Come on. Now, I have it easy because... I have it easy because... Why? Because Jay probably took a shower this morning.
I haven't taken one for a week.
Yeah. And he didn't walk on a dusty, dirty road here this morning. But you can imagine the situation where Jesus, he's their Lord, he's their rabbi, and he's their leader, right? And so then he goes to his disciples, and he begins to wash their feet. And Jay's probably don't need to be washed. But theirs did back in their day, right? Theirs had to be washed.
All right.
Because they wore sandals on dusty roads. All right, sorry about that. I'm sure Gina could do a much better job. All right. All right, okay. Got the next one.
No, I'm good with that.
No, come on.
It's one's fine.
Both feet, right? You can't just have 1 foot. How many think just 1 foot's good enough?
No.
No, we need both. Both of them. All right. Yeah. You're going to leave sanctified here today, Jay.
All right. And you can't hold a grudge against us. We're just trying to make this fun for you.
All right. No, I knew I was going to wash Jay's feet. God said to. Yeah. All right. He's my disciple, right? All right. Okay. All right, we're going to move that all the way. Okay. All right. Aaron, I'll let you, if you need to walk right off.
You're good?
Yep. You're good to go?
I just want to give myself
Yeah.
All right. Give Jay a hand. He did not know that was going to happen. I know. And I think that's why God told me to, God laid it upon my heart. All right, I'm going to see if this will work here. All right, here we go. So what do we learn from this? What do we learn from this? Three things from extreme love. The first is that extreme love humbly serves. Extreme love humbly serves. All right? That day, somebody did not do their job, and Jesus saw an opportunity to show them how much he loved them. And so he took off his outer garments, probably got down his t-shirt. They had similar, you know, they wore robes instead of pants and a shirt. But they had undergarments, and then they had clothing that went over the top. Somebody should have done the honors that day. Somebody should have picked up and said, hey, we're going to need to get this done, but nobody did. And so when Jesus took it upon himself to do that, it kind of caught everybody off guard. Because in their culture, that is something that somebody that was in charge would never think of doing. Because they were the leader, they were rabbi. They wouldn't have thought of doing that. It had been too humiliating. But Jesus wanted to show them that to be a leader, right, you have to be willing to humbly serve. And he wanted to get that point across to those that he was going to entrust the rest of the church to. On Thursday, we had a minister's meeting up at People City Mission, just a regular monthly meeting that I helped coordinate. And so we met at the mission this past Thursday and heard from Pastor Tom. He is one of our credentialed ministers within the assemblies. But we just got to see firsthand what's happening there. I've been up there several times, but it was good just to see what's happening there right now at People City Mission. You know, there's just so many opportunities there to serve, isn't it? Right at our doorstep, right here, 20, 30 minutes away, to really minister to people that are kind of, he said, most of them are caught just in a very difficult time in their life. They'll be there once just for maybe a couple months, and then they'll never see them again. It's not that way in all the communities, cities. But here in Lincoln, in Nebraska, he says that is usually the case. But there's opportunities right at our doorstep where we can go and minister, volunteer, and serve people that are caught in a tough place. And there's other places right here in Crete, Nebraska, where we can do the same. And when we do the extravaganza on the 24th, it's a lot of work. And so, you know, stuffing eggs. I think they were here till, I think some people, Barb, were you here till like 11:30 Friday night? Stuffing eggs and I know a few of them, just putting a lot of hard work and effort to do that. You know, but it's a little chaotic on that day, but it's an opportunity where I get comments like, wow, you guys are doing this free. Is there any charge? I said, no. And they're just so appreciative that our church is willing to do that for the community and for them. And so it's a wonderful opportunity just to demonstrate the love of Christ to the people around us. So, what does God call us to do? I believe extreme love calls all of us to look for occasions throughout our week, throughout our day, where we can serve coworkers, fellow students, neighbors, and people in our community. Now, you're probably not going to go and wash their feet, right? Because you're going to get the same response as Jay. And you might even come away with a black eye or something like that, okay? You're not going to wash my feet. There's other ways that we serve in our culture, right, that carry much more meaning, all right? maybe helping them get something or seeing, hey, they need this. You say, hey, I'll grab that. I'll grab you a cup of coffee when I go and get mine. There's ways that we can serve other people and just show love to them, that we care about them, and that we're not all about ourselves, but we're about other people, right? And we're reaching out to them. We look for those opportunities that God wants to demonstrate his love into a world that desperately needs it. Now, humility is not weakness, folks, is it? Humility is not weakness. In fact, rather, it is being confident enough in who you are that you can serve people around you. If Jesus wasn't confident in who he was, here you have the Son of God washing the feet of dirty, smelly disciples. All right? God, disciples. And he was willing to stoop down and wash their feet. See, Jesus was able to do that because he was confident in who he was. He knew he was the Son of God. Washing their feet was not going to change that, who he was. But too often we associate that if I do this, or if I'm humble, if I serve, then that weakens who I am, instead of really understanding that it strengthens who you are and that you're able to serve others. Amen? Extreme love humbly serves, but it also does another thing. Let's look at verses 6 through 11. It says, "Then he came to Simon Peter." No, my Bible says he came to J. Johnson, who said to him, "Lord, you're not going to wash my feet." And Jesus replied, "You set it up perfectly, Jay. You do not realize what I'm doing, but later you'll understand." "No," said Peter, said Jay, "you shall never wash my feet." And Jesus answered, "Unless I wash your feet, you will have no part with me." Then Peter says, "Hey, give me a whole, wash all of me." Jesus says, "That's not necessary, right? A person who has a bath needs only have his feet washed, all right? His whole body is clean. And you are clean, not that every one of you are. For he knew who was going to betray him, and that is why he said, not everyone is clean." Extreme love humbly serves, but it also loves all people. Now, all people, I was looking for a better term there. All people is just very generic, right? It's very general, all people, right? So let's put a little bit of understanding behind that. First of all, Peter was one of the disciples. He was outgoing. He was kind of the leader of the bunch. But he was also kind of not wanting to submit in this situation, right? He was one to kind of quick and be, you know, take charge. He was not perfect, though. He failed God, Christ, several times. But all people included Peter, didn't it? That God was willing to wash his feet. But it also meant somebody else. Who would have been, do you think, was the hardest disciple's feet to wash? Judas. Why? Because he was going to betray him. And we know already at this point that Jesus knew Judas was going to be the one that would betray him. And so Jesus even washed the feet of the one that would betray him and send him to the cross. Think about that. The one that would betray him. And you know what? We've all sinned. We've all fallen short of the glory of God, right? And so sometimes we look at love, that we love selectively. I think when we say we love all people, I think we are very much very selective in how we demonstrate love and who we show our love to. And often we show our love to people that deserve it, in our opinion, right? They deserve it. Whether it's because they're our friend or because they've done something for us or they can do something back, return the favor. But when we talk about showing love just randomly and to people that we may not get that same love back or get a return, then it's a little different, isn't it? Extreme love loves all people, even the people that do not deserve it. So how selective are we? Or do we select those that we like and love? You know, who is the disciple that Jesus loved? John. That's what it says. At least that's what John says. He was the disciple that Jesus loved. Peter, I think, had a little bit stronger personality. So maybe he had a lot of get up and go, but maybe he kind of got on Jesus' nerves every once in a while. Never know. So do we show our love to those that we like? Do we select those that we can return the favor? Do we select those who deserve it? See, no one in Jesus' day, at that moment, at that time at the table, deserved for Jesus to wash their feet. Nobody deserved it. They were his disciples. He loved them. But that wasn't his role. They didn't see it as his role. But he washed their feet. And it says in Scripture here that he showed them the full extent of his love when he washed their feet. Extreme love is not discriminatory. It's not selective. It truly loves all people that God has called us to love. And maybe people that at the extravaganza, you're going to have all sorts of people there. You're going to have wealthy people. You're going to have poor people. You're going to have black, brown, and black. Brown, black, and white. There we go. You're going to have people from all different social classes there. You're going to have people that smell good. You're going to have people that don't smell so good. You're going to have people that are well-behaved. You're going to have kids that are not well-behaved. All right? People that you like, people that are going to drive you crazy and say, oh, maybe we need to lock him in the bounce house, right? Have a disappearing, shoot in there or something. No, but you know what I mean, right? And see, extreme love was willing even to extend that gift of love to a Judas that would betray him. So extreme love humbly serves, but it also loves all people. Thirdly, starting in verse 15, we have to go back to, here we go, verse 12. When he had finished washing their feet, he put on his clothes and returned to his place. Oh, I get to put back my shirt on. All right. Thanks, Cap. All right. Do you not understand what I've done for you? He said to them. You call me teacher and Lord, and rightfully so, for that is what I am. But today, I, your Lord and your teacher, have washed your feet. So you also should do the same and wash one another's feet. Now, he couldn't mean that literally. He probably meant that you probably should be willing to do it. But I think it meant much more than that they should be willing to serve one another. Don't you think? Okay. Verse 15. I've set you an example that you should do as I have done for you. I tell you the truth, no servant is greater than his master, nor a messenger greater than the one who sent him. Now that you know these things, you will be blessed if you do them. The third thing there is that extreme love not only humbly serves, loves all people, but it leads by example. And that's what Jesus was doing that day. He was leading by example. And he was saying, hey, this is how I want you to serve and to love one another. He realized that his time on earth was short, and he did not want them bickering for power. So in the passage that Gina read, right, they were kind of, hey, who's going to get to sit at the right and the left? Who's going to be in that power position? They were concerned about not about serving, but who was going to be in that position of power. And Jesus understood he had some work to do. And so by washing their feet, he was showing them how they were to lead, how they were to serve, and raise up other disciples and other Christians. Regardless of our position or power, none of us is above serving and by leading by our example. When you serve, you're leaving an example for your children, for your neighbors, for your coworkers, and the world that is watching you from a distance. And I think this is one case where your actions speak much louder than your words. Right? People are watching you more than you realize, folks. They're watching your actions. They're watching how you live your life. They're watching you from across the street. They're watching you from across the hallway at work. They're watching your life. And how you lead by serving is going to carry a lot of weight. It's going to communicate where your heart is, your intentions, your ambitions. You know, often, especially on a Sunday morning, we got people, a lot of people doing a lot of things, and at times I say, hey, can you do this? Can you do that? Sometimes I feel a little bit bad doing that, but one of the things I've understood, usually I don't think I've asked anybody to do something I'm not willing to do myself. And I've done most of those jobs, whether it's take out the trash, whether it is straightening chairs, whether it is picking up trash outside. I've done all those things. But sometimes I like to delegate, get people involved, and I can't do everything, right? I just can't clone myself, so you wouldn't want that anyway. So. Yeah, we don't want to do that. Oh, that's all under control. Oh, clean up. Oh, that's where we'll clone. We'll clone. We all must, you know, if you're not willing to, if you're willing to lead but you're not willing to serve, that's an issue, isn't it? The greatest leaders are the ones that also are willing to serve. And Jesus demonstrated that for us. Extreme love does three things. It humbly serves from our story, loves all people, it leads by example. I'm going to have the musicians come. The early church, I've really been blessed by a book called Water from a Deep Well. I started reading it last year, about halfway through it, so make some progress on it. But it really goes into the heritage that the early Christians had, and just sometimes we lose sight of the tradition that is there and the history that is there. But the early church was not a big number, okay? We're talking several thousand, but we're not talking extreme numbers, folks, not millions like we have today. But they made an incredible impact upon the world and in the Roman world. The Roman world was all about power. It was all about greed. It was all about position. And so you have these Christians that are persecuted. They're not people of power, but they made a huge difference in the Roman world, to the place that the Roman world feared them. They feared their influence. And how did they make such an impact? Well, they took care of the poor. They had a welfare system, or just a social system, that put the Roman world to shame. So they took care of the poor. They ministered to prisoners, people in prison, looked after them. They found opportunities to serve within their world and their culture, even though by much of the Roman world they were ostracized. And because of that, they had this incredible testimony. And as even during those days, that some of them would die in the Colosseums. They would be put out in the center of the Colosseum, and wild animals would come and tear them apart. You think that's not much of a witness. But you know what? As people saw that, they said, you know what? There must be something. These people are willing to die for their faith. They're willing to serve for their faith. They're willing to do things that most people in our culture wouldn't want to do. There must be something genuine, authentic about these people that we're making fun of, that we're ostracizing, that we're persecuting. And because of that, the church grew. It grew by pretty incredible numbers to the place that it threatened the Roman way of life. Isn't that incredible? It really threatened what they saw as stability as the church grew and they influenced their culture with Christian virtues. And so people not only from poor, from rich, from a lot of power, from not much power, prisoners, began to follow Christ and to serve Him as their Lord and their Savior. It's a pretty powerful testimony. And I believe if God could do it back in that day and age in the Roman world, guess what? He can do that still today, can't He? He can still turn our world upside down as we lead with extreme love and demonstrate that to the world around us. And I fear that too much our world sees the church as wanting things. We want your money. We want you at our church because it makes it look fuller. We want people here, folks. But if it's just about filling a seat, if that's all people are good for, then that's not the right thing. We want to see them to come to Christ and see their life transformed, right? And we know that to do the work of God, there has to be money and stuff like that. But our world sometimes looks at the church, and that's all they see is us for the negative things. And they're not really seeing what God has called us to do. Am I making sense? I believe our communities are seeking extreme love. And I've written here that if you want to live an attractive Christian life that draws others to Christ, you need to let your actions do the talking instead of your words. St. Francis of Assisi said, share Christ with other people. If necessary, use words. All right? In other words, your life and the actions that you do should complement what you say, but lead with what you do. Lead with what you do. And then let your words back it up, okay? And point people to Christ. The first step begins by inviting Christ in our heart and our life. And then we follow Him in what He's called us to do. Amen? I'm going to have those who are going to help out with prayer if you'd make your way forward. We're going to close with that chorus, Hosanna. What is God speaking to your heart this morning? Are you humbly serving? I can't answer that question. Only you can say, God, am I humbly serving you the way you called me to serve? Am I loving all people? Or do I have some prejudices in my life? Or am I willing to love certain people but not other people? And sometimes we would say, you know what? No, that's not me. Until we get put in a situation where we're kind of like, I'm not comfortable in loving that person. Why? That's stuff you have to work out with God. And are you leading by example? You can't expect other people to serve if you're not willing to serve yourself. Amen? So we're going to just close in prayer and go into that course. Father, this morning we just thank you for your word. And Lord, we just thank you that it teaches us. And Lord, that you've called us to be servants to you, not to this world, but to you, and to humbly serve the world around us. And it's often those actions that communicate a powerful message to the world around us. And our world wants to see authentic, genuine Christianity that is willing to lead with love and willing to serve their community and their families. And Father, you've given us an incredible opportunity right now in our day and age. Our world is desperate. There's a huge opportunity, Father, and we have to step into those shoes and to lead by how we live our life, by how we serve. And so, Lord, we give you the thanks, we give you the praise, and we ask it in your holy and precious name this morning. Amen. You've seen that chorus. If you need to invite Christ into your heart and your life this morning, they'd be more than happy to pray with you this morning. But would you sing that chorus this morning? If you have a need or request, they'll pray with you. We'll agree with you in prayer today. Amen. Father, this morning, I pray that you would allow us to lead with a selfless faith and that you would change our heart, even break our heart for the world around us, Lord God, that we can leave transformed and changed this morning, ready to meet the needs that are outside these church walls, Lord. And Lord, give us that heart that is willing to humbly serve the world around us. Give us that confidence in our own heart, just in who we are and that you've called us to minister to the world. And give us a love, Lord God, that is not selective, that is truly willing to serve even our enemies or those that aren't always nice to us or those that just kind of rub us the wrong way. Father, Lord, give us even a love and a compassion for them. Father, we don't always know the things that are behind the story, Lord, or behind the anger, behind the meanness, behind the things that repel us. We don't know the story there, Lord. And Lord, give us that compassion for them and for our world, Lord God. And Lord God, let us lead. Just be a light to the world around us. Let us practice that faithful presence in our world, pointing people to Christ. Let us live attractive lives for you. Lord, we give you the thanks this day. Go with us. We ask it